Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Institute for Personal Development, where total consciousness is the new frontier. Kriya Yoga is the union of the individual with the divine. Join us as we explore the practices that initiate this process.
Well, good morning and welcome to the Voice of Yoga. Let's Talk Consciousness. I am your hostess, Lisa Winton, and with me is Kenny Toy, also known as Swami Jayananda, founder of Institute for Personal Development, located here in Hampton, New Hampshire. Good morning, Swami. Thank you for being here today. How are you?
I'm doing pretty good today. How about you?
Well, I'm doing all right. Well, before we begin our program, I just want to take a moment and thank Tony Annie for covering the last couple of weeks for me while I was in the process of upgrading my immune system. So I almost have a voice today, so it's good to be back. And thank you, listeners, for tuning in. Today on the Voice of Yoga, we will talk about Earth Day and how to celebrate the planet that we live on. We'll discuss the condition of the planet and the role humanity plays in the health and longevity of this unique environment. We'll also speak about things like global warming, pollution, war, and how these conditions are a reflection of our inner environments. Think global, but act local. Take charge of your own well-being and clean up your lifestyle. Resolve your inner conflicts. Get the light in your soul and bring peace to the earth. So before we get started, Swami, I thought I would do is just give everybody a little history lesson on Earth Day. And I looked up online, Earth Day was first held on April 22nd, 1970. And what happened on that day, there was about 12,000 colleges, universities, schools, communities, and it brought about 20 million Americans out for peaceful demonstration to favor environmental reform. I thought that was really interesting. Now Earth Day is observed in 192 countries and celebrated by over a billion people every year. And then I also want to make a note, environmental groups have sought to make Earth Day into a day of action which changes human behavior and provokes policy change. So Swami, from that last quote, let's talk about that human behavior part.
Yeah, I mean, we're basically creatures of habit. You know, I mean, a lot of our behaviors are conditioned responses. Most of it is learned. And being taught, you know, like good living habits right from the onset, I think it'd be a real advantage to someone. Because, you know, it's like we say here, I mean, our physical bodies have all the power. The body has the power of preservation and survival, but it's blind. It has no vision and no power of discernment. So we can internalize anything that our bodies will think that it needs, and of course we will move towards that and seek out whatever it is that we internalize. And of course, like we talk about, that's the dynamics of all of our addictions. It's just an internalized conditioned response. It's just an internalized image that your body has placed in a position of importance that it thinks it needs. So a big part of your yoga practice is really understanding how to format the pattern of your body, how to change reward circuits in your brain, how to change these neurological pathways that we create through repetition and what we call perfect practice. But most of it is just basic conditioning. You know, most of it are these learned responses, and one of the biggest transmitters of that is our medium. You know, it's like television. We say, like, somebody when you are watching television, you are in such a impressionable state. Studies show that we exert more energy sleeping than when we're watching TV, but we're impressionable on this cellular level. So it's during these commercials or, you know, whatever it is that you're watching that you're actually starting to shape and format your pattern. And what you learn in a Kriya Yoga practice is basically how to reformat that pattern in your body and to do it consciously and willfully without the influences of all of these other external stimuli.
I know you always say that what surrounds you is within you, so can we apply that to maybe some of the earth changes that are going on right now, you know, like the melting of the polar ice caps and things like that? I mean, is it a global consciousness that that is assisting in deteriorating some of these earth changes that we're experiencing?
Yeah, I think that's exactly what it is, that the planet is a reflection of our collective consciousness, and all of the conflicts that are taking place are just a reflection of this inner conflict that most of us are struggling with. And, you know, the other thing that, like we say, you know, the earth can be viewed more as an organism, you know, with a life and a consciousness of its own. And we're kind of like a parasite on this organism. And one of the things that we have to be really careful of is that we don't kill the host, you know, because our life depends upon its life. And having that sense of prescience, you know, to be able to take consideration for consequences, to have that kind of foresight, is an important part of being intelligent as a human being, and to be able to see, you know, that there are changes that are taking place. And I would imagine that scientifically, I mean, how much humanity is causing these changes, that part I'm sure could be debated from all sides. But the bottom line is that these changes are taking place, and historically they have always been taking place. The earth is in constant change. That's one of the attributes of duality, that everything is in constant change. And one of the reasons why, again, coming back to your yoga practice, the whole concept of getting off of the grid, trying to separate your whole sense of self from the realms of particles and waves, and realigning yourself with the unchanging part of reality, the indivisible unified field, this void, this nothing, or what scripture called God, you know, is a viable human enterprise. But it also gives you leverage. It puts you in a position of power, so that you can actually start to affect changes on the manifested and complementary unmanifested other parts of reality.
I've done a lot of studying with certain healing modalities, I guess, if you will, like, you know, Reiki and massage and different massage therapies and so on. And all of the teachers I've had always said that you have to heal yourself before you can be put in a position to heal somebody else. Now, is that something that we can also apply to, say, the earth? We have to work on ourselves before we can accept any responsibility in trying to heal the planet.
Yeah, I would agree with that 100%. You know, the whole concept of, you know, think globally, but you have to act locally. You know, it's one of the things I always say is I judge all my lifeguards by how well they can swim. Mm-hmm. You know, that if somebody's going to give me advice about something, you know, I mean, I really look to those that walk the talk. And the origins of the word heal is an interesting word, because the origins of the word heal means to be a whole person. And again, what does it look like when you are a whole person? What does it look like when you are a human in the adult state? Because these are the areas that I find, you know, are really wanting. Like, we really do not have good leadership. And in fact, even the whole concept of Earth Day, I mean, the focus is on the earth. But in reality, I mean, the only way to bring peace to the earth is to get light in your soul. which means that we have to separate from our attachment to it and reconnect to this other source of sustenance, this other energy field. And that's like 180 degrees away from, you know, like the way that most of us would expect to do that. But it's also how things really work. You know, to be able to emit a thought without any need for a return kind of requires you to have the benefit of internal support. But to, you know, start taking care of yourself. You know, if you want to fix pollution on the planet, you know, you've got to purify yourself. You can't be polluting your physical body or your immediate environment and expect the change to come from the outside. But if you start locally and you start cleaning, you know, on all levels too, cleaning your thought, purifying your thoughts, you know, having that sense of focus, purity is your ability to think, feel, say, and do one and the same thing. And then, of course, you know, one of the things we always talk about is thinking right, you know, which again, you know, could be a really bold statement, you know, that's oftentimes met with a lot of resistance. Mm-hmm. Well, that's thinking right for you. But traditionally and typically, there has been wisdom that has been handed down through the generations in scriptures, that there is a secret to life, you know, to put God first, to use what you really do need to produce the feeling in your body that you're happy, to reprogram your body to get accustomed to using what you need, you know, your number one need as a source of validation. Then, of course, you don't need all of the stuff, mm-hmm. you know, that causes pollution and causes conflicts and battles and wars and everything else. So again, it's an interesting dynamic. But if you can start locally, and like we say, I mean, if you start with just the simple thing of maybe skillful use of thought, maybe changing some of the bad habits that we might have with breathing, drinking, eating. And then if you wanted to maybe clean up some things with maybe a well-rounded exercise program, you know, because nothing really helps you physically more than movement, I don't think. You know, the human body is designed to be used.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think keeping the body in motion is giving it lotion, as we say in the massage business, for sure. So it sounds to me like you're saying we really kind of have to work from the inside out as opposed to the outside in. People are always concerned about how they appear from the outside when really the work is on the inside. And I agree with you. We have to start with how we're all thinking and breathing, and then from there, then we would want to, you know, search and find other ways for us to, you know, move away from polluting our minds and polluting our bodies. You know, the TV, I think, is one of those things that we can lessen more in our daily lives as far as polluting your mind. And as far as polluting the body, just watching the foods that we eat and correct combinations and things like that. So we are really the microcosm of this whole macrocosm.
Yeah, I would agree with that 100%, you know, and like we say, putting your efforts in the small and the simple, you know, changing myself. And then, of course, it comes back to the Chinese proverb, you know, when there's light in the soul, there's beauty in the person, you know, and so how does that work and why? Because of the physics of spirituality. You know, that if we continue to draw from the outside world, if we continue to draw from duality, we're drawing from a resource of energy that isn't giving us what it is that we need to be a whole person. Mm-hmm. And if the origins of the word heal means to be whole, then one of our biggest problems is that we're trying to fix things in a place that it's not going to work. You know, it's kind of like, I don't know, I always tell a story about, you know, watching somebody trying to remove a transmission from a car and, you know, looking down and, you know, pointing out to the person that there's, you know, two more bolts in that transmission that they haven't taken out, and they continue to pull on the transmission. And, you know, I mean, unless you get those bolts out, that transmission isn't going anywhere. And to put your efforts in pulling before you take the bolts out doesn't really get you closer to where you want to go. And that's one of the misconceptions I think that we have in our spiritual communities today, that we think we're getting credit for our efforts. You know, that there is, in Buddhism they call it right doing. You know, there's a way of doing things, and there's, you know, ways that it isn't going to work. And so to be able to have a plan that you can maximize the return on your efforts, which is where I think our Kriya Yoga program excels, giving people good leadership. You know, because by getting connected to this invisible, intangible resource is what creates this progressive cycle. It's what puts light in your soul. It changes the exchange of energy you have with your environment, that we're not sucking off of the earth anymore. We're actually in a position where we're giving back.
Well, I think that's a great place to pause to hear a word from our sponsors. So, listeners, we will be back in a few moments.
Om Purnamada Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudashyate.
If you are looking for a samadhi-based experience, IPD Kriya Yoga has the goods, a complete yoga program that includes the practices and the process. Kriya Yoga Theory 1 live classes and videos. Get your arms around the spiritual science of Kriya Yoga.
You know, the intention of why we practice is to embody the spirit, you know, to feel connected to the life force.
Kriya Yoga Asana live classes and videos. A cosmically engineered system of exercises to initiate apotheosis. A system of exercises engineered for dining and dancing at the cosmic ballroom. Kriya Yoga Theory 2 live classes and videos, a practice in open form designed to facilitate positive growth of consciousness. Get your labyrinth video.
I find the positive side of this is a lot of things.
Kriya Yoga mantra and meditation. With repetition comes absorption. Pray on prana and become divine.
At the same time, we all have a unique talent and gift to give back.
Private session. The mysteries of the universe have always been handed down verbally from teacher to student. Call or click now and get started. 603-929-0303 or
www.iptransform.com.
Namaste.
Welcome back. For those of you just joining us, you're listening to The Voice of Yoga, and we are talking consciousness. So far we were talking about earth changes and how we have to have self change in order to make any progress with trying to heal the earth. So that being said, I also want to make a comment that I think it's really important that we all have this particular responsibility to the planet that we live on, and making conscious choices on, you know, do I buy the broccoli loose, or do I buy it that it's already placed in a plastic bag, you know, or you know, do I buy this because it's in plastic or do I buy that because it's in glass and I can recycle it? I mean, these things we have to, I think, we have to have a responsibility to make these kinds of choices to help in our footprint on the earth. What do you think about that?
Yeah, I agree with you, you know, but I also think that we can do all of that stuff at different levels of consciousness and different degrees of awareness. Mm-hmm. Like you can be very mindful about, you know, your footprint on the planet without being neurotic about it or compulsive or obsessive, mm-hmm. and in without imposing that on other people. And a lot of it, like I say, I mean, your level of consciousness is such a variable. Because the human in the adult state does this stuff naturally. The human in the adult state has this sense of consideration for consequences on a larger level, just like you say. I mean, if I don't buy this particular product, then I don't have to worry about disposing the container. Mm-hmm. Kind of a thing. So you have a lot more foresight, mm-hmm. and also, like you say, responsibility. That if I buy this, then of course there's this, and this that can happen, and that translates into just about everything that we do. But to be able to do it with that sense of joy and love. And the other thing is that if you do buy the plastic container, you know that plastic now is recyclable. Mm-hmm. So you know, you take the responsibility of doing that. And also having a sense of inventory for yourself. You know, like what's motivating me? Why am I doing this? That again, the human in the adult state isn't looking for approval for their conduct. You know, that they have a sense of connectedness to a much bigger picture. They have this sense of purpose for an incarnation. And that with that comes this sense of responsibility and accountability. Mm-hmm. And you're in constant surveillance of what's going on in your own body. You know, because you just look at, say, for example, those that do pollute their bodies. You know, on so many different levels, they really don't respect themselves. And oftentimes it's these people that are polluting the planet. And most of it is driven by the simple fact that they don't see beyond just seeing themselves as a separate entity. They don't have that expanded sense of awareness. There's no real consideration for consequences. I love that old saying, you know, that some people say something to the effect that if I knew I was going to live this long, I would have taken better care of myself, kind of a thing, you know, that... You want to have that in place, that kind of mentality in place right from the onset if you can.
You had said something earlier about thinking right, and we have said that phrase over and over in our radio shows, but I know what you mean by that. But for those that maybe are just tuning in to our program may not know what you mean by thinking right. Can you just kind of give us a review of what that means to us in the Kriya Yoga world?
Yeah, thinking right, you know, is kind of like the term is called simplify. Thinking right is knowing the difference between a need and a want. Thinking right is knowing what your needs are in their order of importance. That if you really boil it down, I mean, what a practical guide for highly effective living. If your number one need becomes your primary source of joy, look at what you just did for yourself. Mm-hmm. You know, and let's say you don't have a stronghold on your number one need, but you are thinking in a way that your values are right side up, then your number two life-sustaining force, breath, is in a position of importance that it warrants. So if every time you're taking a breath, it's reinforcing the feeling in your body that you're happy, you're special, that you're good enough, every time you're taking a breath, you feel connected to something that's pure, it's powerful, it's sacred, it's not going anywhere. Look at what you just did for yourself. Because the average person today is searching. We're constantly looking for something to produce that feeling that I'm okay. And what we call normal, I call neurotic. Because you go from the car to the phone to the computer to the television to the refrigerator to the gym. And it's all driven by this blind need that I want something. Now, once you have rebirthed your body in the life force, and now what you really do need is your soul symbol for validation, you're constantly reinforcing this feeling in your body that you're good enough. And that gives you a completely different platform to live from.
So to kind of recap, if we want to change the planet, change the earth, then really those changes have to come within ourselves. And in order to do that, and the first thing we need to do is let's just be aware and conscious of how we're thinking, what we're thinking, and then not only that, but what we're saying and what we're doing all has this immediate impact on our environment, our relationships, I mean, our entire world. So we were talking before about having 100 monkeys. So if we can get, you know, like-minded people to be conscious of what they're thinking and what they're saying and what they're doing, I mean, truly there could be an incredible movement, not only to change the patterns of what we're doing to the earth, but then eventually changing everyone's levels of consciousness, and then everybody raises up an octave along with the earth.
Oh, absolutely. You know, I mean, there's your Chinese proverb. You know, when there's light in the soul, beauty in the person, harmony in the home, honor in the nation, peace in the world. You know, so by getting this light in your soul, it's, in my opinion, I mean, it is what is missing. We're trying to do it from the earth. We're trying to lift ourselves off of the earth. And we're trying to complete ourselves on the planet. And it will never happen. In order to find wholeness, you have to transform, which means go through form. You have to separate from your attachment to the planet, but you have to attach to it this other resource, this other source of sustenance. And it's kind of like C.S. Lewis said, if you aim for earth, you get nothing. But if you aim for heaven, earth gets thrown in. And so the big thing that you want to do is you want to change what you're aiming for. You want to change your values. You want to change what you think is important to you. But remember, you're trying to connect to something that's invisible, intangible. And so you're going to need some help in making that connection.
Thank you for that, Swami. I think it's probably about time we got to start closing down our program today. So in closing, I invite you listeners to visit us on all social media and do us a favor. We are trying to make a movement here. If you like what you see and you like what you hear, please let your friends know, share our post, let people know about Blog Talk Radio, because we believe in the collective consciousness and we believe we can all make a difference. So be sure to tune in next week to our program. We'll be celebrating some birthdays next week, so we're going to celebrate it yoga style. So thank you, listeners, for tuning into our program, The Voice of Yoga. This is Lisa Winton along with Swami Jayananda. signing off. Have a wonderful Kyoga kind of day.
And have a happy Earth Day. Namaste.